Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, as we've sung in that song about what you can do and what we need to do, we pray that you will captivate our hearts and help us to speak more of you. Thank you, Lord, that you are such a great, powerful, creating God. And we thank you for the beauty of your creation. Lord, even in the snow that's been about recently, Lord, we thank you for its beauty. And we pray, Lord, that you would just help us to realize how good you are, how great your love is towards us. Lord, we can thank you for everyday things that we take for granted. But Lord, we thank you most of all for the Lord Jesus, for the fact that he went to that cross at Calvary, and he died there for each one of us. And Lord, we pray that our love might be bouncing back to him, because he first loved us and gave himself for us. So Lord, encourage us to encourage one another in your love. For we ask it for your name's sake. Amen. Now, I've got something that I've had around for a long, long time. And as we're talking about water, I've had this beside my bed for a long time. Longer than, well, I was younger than any of you when I had this. So it's very old. But it's also very true. And why I brought it was because it's a little prayer that says, "Dear God, I'm sailing on thy wide, wide sea. Please guard my little ship for me." And during the last week, we've sort of seen little ships going out from the harbour and great big waves as well. And one thing that was interesting was that the children on one of the islands that we went to visit, there weren't enough of them to have a school. And they didn't do homeschooling on that island, so they had to go by boat every day to another island, whatever the weather was, to get to school and have school there and then come back in the evening. And this was the ones that were under 11. Yeah, so, you know, but they, well, what we noticed was that when we went in the boat, the chap said, "I should come inside if I were you." And when we saw the youngsters coming back from school, they were all sat outside, splashing about and having all the wet and everything else and not worrying a bit about it. But, you know, it was just interesting that it's slightly different lifestyle. There were 8 miles of roads altogether. Passing a driving test was not a feasibility, and an MOT certainly wouldn't, because even the one garage that was there, they've lost now, so there was nowhere to get an MOT anyway. And, you know, I mean, the postman, we met one day, a postman on the little island, and he had a van. It was a new van, fairly new, 66 reg. And he was saying something's gone wrong with it. He was driving one of those John Deere Gator trucks, because that seemed to be the usual vehicle over there. And he said, "Well, it's got to get fixed." And he said, "Well, we got to get it off of this island onto St. Mary's, which is the main island. And as there's no garage there now, then they got to take it back to the mainland to get it fixed." So, you know, you had to have quite a valuable vehicle to actually do that. But anyway, it was all about water there. Everywhere you went, everywhere you looked, you saw water. And so I thought we'd have some choruses about water. And I gather Esther doesn't really know the actions, so Rosemary's coming up to do them for us. Is that right? So we're going to have some choruses. What order we got them, Joe? You got the button? Ah, yeah, somebody else better do that, because that wouldn't be my scene, would it? Right. Wise man built his house upon the rock. Yeah, well, all the islands that were left there were rocks, basically. You know, just rocks of granite and sticking up, and there were lots of shipwrecks because of it. But we'll sing the wise man built his house upon the rock. Okay? Is from the book of Jonah, and the first 12 verses. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if it so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let's cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then say they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? He said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. And the men were exceeding afraid, and said unto him, Why have you done this? For they knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea roared and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Trust God will help us as we look at that in a moment, please. Right, if we could sing again this time. It says, And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. I hope each one of us this morning can say that to be true for each one of us. Right, I'm going to read from Acts chapter 27 now. Acts 27. This is talking about Paul going to Rome, and his journey to Rome. They'd sailed slowly over a little period of time and come to a place, and they were staying there. But when much time, in verse 9 it says, was spent when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia, and there to winter, which is a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing then they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, struck sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tacking of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have listened unto me, and not loose from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even it was told me. Trust that God will again bless his reading of his word. There are a number of folks that we need to pray for. We'll just have a few minutes of prayer, and if others would like. I was reading about some of the shipwrecks that were on the Cilice, and there was one there of a quite a big ship which had lots and lots of containers on. And one of the containers apparently had a whole lot of children's clothes in. And so the people on one of the islands decided that the best thing to do was to gather up all this clothes. They washed it and they sent it to Romania, which I thought was lovely. You know, it was just encouraging that was how they saw it. You know, they didn't have a lot themselves, but they didn't cling on to it. They just shared it, and that was great. I wonder if we can sing number 770 now, please. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? I want us to look at three different people and their attitudes to different things that God wanted them to do. Most of you know the story of Jonah. And I don't know what your reaction would have been if you'd been asked by God to go to a city of Nineveh, which was a great big city. It was a very evil place, and you were to preach repentance to them. It just reminded me a bit of Clive when he goes to Epsom Races. It's not the place you choose to go. And I don't suppose any of us would be too keen on going there either. But Jonah decided that he'd go the opposite direction. He ran away from what God wanted him to do. Now, I don't know for sure why that is, but he ran away. That's the first thing that we see, that he was not wanting to do what God wanted him to do. And that can sometimes apply to us, doesn't it? That sometimes we try and run away from things that God wants us to do. In the story, we find that he was thrown overboard, and God provided a great fish. Doesn't say a whale. To swallow him. And he had 3 days in a fairly sticky environment. But it also says to us that God doesn't give up on us, even if we do let him down. If he's got a job for us to do, then the reality is that he will get us there to do it. And so that's another thought, that God's love is beyond us running away. He loves us so much that he wants to bring us through. And in fact, we know that the fish spat up Jonah on the shore, and God reminded him, you know, go to Nineveh and preach repentance. And Jonah went, and the people repented. And in chapter 4, we read that he was fed up because the people repented, because he knew that God was going to cause the people to repent. And I just wondered whether that was a part of the reason he ran away. He was not really wanting the people to repent. He knew that God asked him to go there. He knew that the fact was that they were likely to repent. And if you read part of chapter 4, you'll find there that he was fed up about that. And that reminded me of something else. You know, do we want everyone to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? I think recently, in different messages that we've had here, we've been challenged, or I've been challenged, by the fact that it's not necessarily the likely people that we would reckon on as needing to come to know the Lord Jesus that will necessarily come. God's choosing, God's love is for everyone. He doesn't wish that any should die not knowing him. And so we find that Jonah was fed up about that. And all I'd ask is, are we sometimes not so sure about talking to certain people about Jesus? Sometimes it's very easy to think, oh, that person would make a good Christian. And we were deciding, you know, and that's not the case. God's the one who decides. But the result was that the people of Nineveh came to know the Lord, repented, and God blessed them. And so that was one storm, and God caused the storm to happen in order that that ship didn't get to Tarshish, that Jonah was thrown overboard, and we read that afterwards there was a calm, and they might have gone on then, but they wouldn't have taken Jonah with him. So that's the first thing. Second thing, so we got three things there. Jonah running away, God's great mercy, and the fact that sometimes we're not always wanting to, if you like, see people come to the Lord as much as he does. So that's three little thoughts there. Then we look at Paul. Paul was in this boat. He was a prisoner in the boat. He was going to Rome. He was confident that he was going to Rome because God had told him he would. He wasn't much of a sailor, but he trusted in God. And when they'd pulled the boat into a certain harbor, it wasn't the best place to winter. And so they were going to make a break for it, and the weather seemed calm and okay. And, you know, we had some weather like that. You know, one day you'd think it was not too bad. In fact, one day we decided that we'd go out for a walk. It was a bit too choppy for doing anything else, but about 5 minutes or a minute after we got out, the heavens opened and we got soaked to bits. But, you know, that was, weather can change very quickly. Certainly changed very quickly over there. One day it was, you know, quite pleasant, and the other day it was rough. And so it can happen. Weather can change rapidly. And sometimes you can get a false impression of how things are going. And so we find that the Paul not being a seaman, they didn't take any notice of him. Captain thought that was a good chance to get away, and so they went on and had a go. As soon as they got out into the open water, and we were seeing this from where we were in the hotel, the harbour was lovely and sheltered, but they went round the corner and boom, they were hitting the waves fairly hard there. And I think this is what happened really with Paul. They got out into a storm. And then it was a bad storm. I mean, we read that it was 14 days they were in this storm. But in the midst of all of this, Paul reassured all the folks that no lives were going to be lost. They must have wondered what he was up to. They must have thought he was a bit of a nutcase, really. And the fact was that he had trusted God, and God had given him a message. The ship was lost, and we saw plenty of pictures of ships that had been lost upon the rocks over there because the pilot didn't guide them, or they tried to take a shortcut or whatever. This ship was going to be lost. And the centurion in charge of all the prisoners there were going to kill all of them. And Paul said, no, don't do that. And he trusted Paul. Paul's life must have been of such a manner, or his character, that people took notice of what he'd done. And in this little passage, we read that all of them arrived on the island safely, even though the ship had been lost. And what it tells me is, one, that Paul gave some sensible words of advice to start with. That was not taken any notice of. And sometimes we can be like that when we seek to tell others about the Lord Jesus, that sometimes what we say is totally disregarded. And then the crew tried in their own strength to save the ship, and it was pretty futile. And then we find Paul saying, you know, God has told me this, that no one's going to be lost off this boat. He's promised me that I will get to Rome, and I believe God. And whilst we don't have messages directly from God today, we do have them through his word. And that's important, isn't it? That we can stand the truth of God's word. And people can, if you like, we can trust on that basis of the truth of God's word. We can accept God's promises there for each one of us. Paul gave advice. They didn't take a blind bit of notice and went their own way, lost the ship, but Paul had confidence in God and took him at his word, which was the spoken word then rather than the written word that we have. And he was blessed and all the others were saved as a result of it, because he stood firm for what he believed and truth. And then I'd like to just look briefly at Mark chapter 4 and verse 35 to 41. And there we find the matter of Jesus and the disciples going out in a boat. And sometimes when you go out in a boat, you are not too sure about the journey. These passengers, the disciples, many of them were seasoned fishermen and wouldn't have taken a lot of notice of the boat, the journey. But a huge storm came up. And there's a couple of things there. We read that Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. He was at peace with the world, with himself, and with his Father. And he wasn't worried about the storm. The disciples, on the other hand, were terrified. And they said, I think, some of the saddest things, saddest words that I read in the Bible. Master, carest thou not that we perish? I think it's awfully sad that they've been with him all that time and didn't realize how much Jesus loved them. You know, he was going to go to that cross for them. He knew that he was doing that. They didn't at that stage, but they thought that Jesus didn't care. That's awfully sad. And sometimes we might feel a bit like that, but let me encourage you to think that God always cares. You know, even through the, was it fiercest drought and storm we just sung? Yeah. And then we find that Jesus went to the front of the boat and said, peace be still. Some people say he shouted it. I don't think he needed to. I think he could just say it and it calmed. And we read in Mark's Gospel, and that's why I mentioned Mark's Gospel. In Mark's Gospel it reads that there was a great calm. You know, we can be going through a storm in life and Jesus doesn't just ease it down a little bit so that the waves aren't quite so choppy. He can cause it to be a great calm throughout our lives. He's in control. The disciples afterwards said, who is this that even the winds and waves obey him? That's our God, Jesus. That's what he is capable of. Because he is the great creator, he is also in control. Sometimes we might not think that, but God is in control of all creation. And we thank him for that. Trust that as we go on our journeys in life, we might ask that little prayer that I had on the wall. Dear God, I'm sailing on thy wide, wide sea. Please guard my little ship from me. And it isn't necessarily our boat, it's our lives, isn't it? And we want God to take care of them. And we can only do that if we put our faith and trust in him. Paul trusted in God. Jonah was not willing to do what God wanted him to do. Jesus is in control. He can calm the storm, even in our own lives. Amen. Conclude, please, by singing number 473. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Trust that each one of us might be able to say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And Lord, may we stand there on the solid rock of our Lord Jesus Christ throughout the storms of life. For we ask it for your name's sake. Amen.